that there's many others that have been offered this morning, and I do thank each of you for all of the prayers that you've already offered up to the Lord on my behalf, for the meeting's behalf. And if you have not done that, I ask you to do it right now. Just ask the Lord to, in the quietness there that you're sitting there in your pew, just ask the Lord to just bless the meeting this morning to His honor and praise and glory. It's good to see each of you, and I do want to express my love and want to be a little more attentive about that, to express love to each other while we are living here in this world. Fellowship of the brethren is a great encouragement to each of you, and to know that there are God's children that care about you and are praying for you, and are there for you when you're in troubles and problems, and that can happen to any of us so very, very quickly. Verse in Psalm 27, it says, "I have fainted unless I believe," has been on my mind so much this week. "I fainted unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord." Without the Lord, we can't see the goodness of the Lord, without Him giving us eyes to see it. And your adversary would have us, we follow him or have him come and tempt us and lead us astray, we can easily begin to see the things that are not about the goodness of the Lord in this world. Because there's so much out there in this world that will bring your heart down, that'll knock you, that'll hit you. "That I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord," and that is in the land of the living. And I believe today we have gathered in the land of the living. And someone would say, isn't it true that wherever men are and they're alive, that we're in the land of the living? The answer to that is no, it's not true. Because without the grace of God, man that is alive naturally is still in a state of death spiritually. He's dead in trespasses and in sins until God awakens us. And then when we gather together in a body like this, God's little children that have been awakened by His grace, gather together to worship the Lord, there is the land of the living. That's where God's children have gathered, and they're gathering for the purpose of spiritually lifting up their voice and lifting up their hearts, lifting up their lives, their bodies, presenting them, their bodies, holy, washed in the blood of Jesus, holy, present your bodies holy, a living sacrifice, acceptable to the Lord, acceptable in His sight through the blood of Jesus, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And that means it's rational. It makes sense for us to be right here today doing what we are doing. And we're thankful for each of you that are here. Thankful for every little voice that sings. Thankful for every heart that's led to be here. And every ear that's open. Every eye that can see. The preacher can't give the seeing eye. He can't give the hearing ear. He can't give the understanding heart. And I'm thankful, though, we don't have to. That's done by the Holy Spirit. Though the eye cannot see and the ear cannot hear and the heart cannot understand the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So if you can see the land of the living, if you can see spiritual things, if what happens here in this little church as we sing hymns that honor God and glorify God makes sense to you, if you have a hunger and a thirst for it, if there's an appeal to you and your heart, there's evidence. Not that you did something right to get right with God, but there's evidence that God reached down and did something for you that the preacher can't do, and mom and daddy can't do, that no one else can do, but only He can do. And if that's true for you today, you have a lot to be thankful for. We have every reason to be here to thank the Lord for what He has done for us. I'm going to be looking at 2 Peter chapter 1. And if you have your Bible, I'd like to turn that with me. Try to follow the Lord's leadership the best I can this morning, because without Him, I know I can't do anything in the way of preaching. And as much as I'd like to have it all together and keep everything organized and orderly and neat and present it very concise and clear to you this morning, I know if it's only me doing that, it'll still be just in the letter and it won't be of any benefit to you. So I'm dependent today upon the Lord to bless us with His manifest presence. I feel like He was there in the prayer, don't you? I feel like the Lord was certainly there when the prayer was offered and gave Brother Terry words that I needed to hear. And it was hearing him talk to the Lord, but he was talking to the Lord for me. So I felt like I was talking to the Lord, or Brother Terry was talking to the Lord. And I know this, if Brother Terry said any good thing, it was the Holy Spirit that gave it to Brother Terry. And then it was he made intercession for Brother Terry. And then it was the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator, sitting in that position on the right hand of the Father, who took those petitions and gave them to the Father. And that the Father hears them, and He not only hears them, He honors them, and He answers. So as we ask the Lord to bless us, we should hope, earnestly expect, that's what hope is, to earnestly expect Him to answer, because He's promised wherever two or three are gathered in His name, and we call upon Him, He's here in our midst, and He will answer our petitions. When we ask in accord with His will, like Brother Terry said in his prayer, when we ask, Lord, Thy will be done, not mine. Lord, Thou supply what we need here, because we don't know. But give us what we need today. And as the Lord will lead us and guide us and direct us, I pray that He will bless us to feed on His Word. The Word of God, the written Word of God and the preached Word of God, does not bring life to the dead. That's why I'm glad we're in the land of the living. Because if we weren't in the land of the living and I preached the word, that which I would preach would fall on deaf ears, and rather than make anyone happy, it would make everyone upset. And Paul said he desired to be delivered from those who have no faith. For all men did not have faith. And he desired not to be with everyone, but to preach the gospel where there was faith to hear. And that is in the land of the living, because God's children are the ones who have faith. I wanted to give you one verse over in Psalm 119, because I've been in that. And if I was going to really preach on what I wanted to preach on today, I would probably be in Psalm 119, but I'd be scared to do that right now because of the way I feel and live with 2 Peter chapter 1. That may change before we ever get to it, but we'll follow the Lord here. I did want to read this verse because it fits with 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, isn't it wonderful? I could probably say that about any verse in the Bible. This verse fits with that verse. You know why? Because it's written by the same author. Though many men were used to pin it down, God's the one who gave us the word. This word is written by God, it's preserved by God, and it's kept by God. And I love Psalm 119 because it talks about the word, and it talks about it in many different ways. But I encourage you to go through Psalm 119. It's a chapter that you can read. And as you read it, it's 176 verses. And it's broken into 22 sections of 8 verses each. And each one of those sections is made up of 8 verses, but if you look at them in our King James Bible, you'll see a Hebrew letter above each one of those sections, which is the Hebrew alphabet, and you've got 22 alphabets. Now, I don't know Hebrew, but I've read enough commentators that said that another amazing thing is that in each one of those verses, the letter that's at the heading of those 8 verses, each verse is started, that the first word starts with that letter. So that's in Hebrew. I have no way of confirming that other than that's what I read in some commentators that I do have a measure of trust in for other things that they've written. I think that's wonderful to think about, don't you? That God would so design His Word in that methodical way. You know, our God is a God of order. And I don't know how the resurrection is going to be, but I know when the Lord comes again and the resurrections of our body, There's not going to be any traffic jams in the sky, although on millions, millions and on untold millions of God's children's bodies that's in the ground and in the dust are going to come forth, there's not going to be a bunch of people running into each other, because they'll all come forth in order. That's what he said, in order they'll come forth. Tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15. They'll come forth in order. It's going to be order. When God made the heavens and the earth, it was orderly, right? He didn't make the cow before he made the grass. He didn't make animals before there was a place for them to live. And even put man at the very end of it so man wouldn't sit around and talk about how much he helped the Lord getting it done. He didn't need any help. Our God made the heavens and the earth and all that therein is. Y'all believe that this morning? And if we believe that, I know you do, but if you believe that, that should give us a great comfort today about where you are and what's going on. It should help you with that appointment tomorrow. You're trusting in not a weak God, not in a little God, not in a God that doesn't know what's coming, but a God who had the power to make the heavens and the earth. And not only did he make it, he keeps it. That's the reason the sun is in the sky and stays there. It's the reason the stars are in the sky and the planets are where they are. It's the reason our world runs like it does. It's the reason we have seasons. It's the reason we have rain, and then we have winter, and then we have snow, and we have all the things that God sends us. And we have a God that's a mighty God. And he's worthy of our trust, and he's worthy of our praise today. And that's not only true today, it's true every day. Over in the ninth division of this Psalm 119, there's a verse in the beginning of that, verse 65. It says, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word." Well, that says a lot, doesn't it? Thou hast dealt, thou who? Thou the Lord. He tells us who that is. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord. Who's the thou? The Lord is the thou. The one who made the heavens and the earth has been good to you and me. He meant that, right? He made you physically. He made you naturally. He gave you the family that you have. He gave you the companion that you have, even though sometimes you might go like, "Ooh, what's this?" And yet the Lord has been so very, very good to us. And when we look through the eye of faith at what God has done for us, every one of us will express what's here in verse 65 of Psalm 119. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Notice our position before God. Peter is going to tell us that's his position before God. There are some people who would feel Peter is in a little higher elevated place than others of God's little children. But I want you to know every one of God's little children are servants of the living God. Those that are born of the Spirit of God, they've been made alive by God, they're created by God, they have been bought with a price, that's the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, they belong to Him. The word servant literally means a slave. We owe Him everything. He gives us our life, He gives us our food, He gives us our clothing, He gives us our family, He gives us our natural blessings, He gives us our spiritual blessings. All good things come from Him. And it's to Him that everything belongs. And if you and I lose sight of that, we're indeed going to be in a place where we could easily faint. But on the other hand, if we believe that, by the faith that He's given us, and we embrace that, we have the strength for each day and each problem and each trouble and each circumstance of our life. And no matter how you feel about how things are going, there's the goodness of God all around you. How do we know that? Because in Psalm 23, he said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Is this a day of your life? The answer is, absolutely, it's a day of my life. And if you're alive spiritually today, that promise is to you, just like it was to David. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Just like he said to Joshua, I'll be there and I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So be strong and of a good courage. And that's my message to you today, as God's little children. And I'm really talking to me, because I feel like at times that I'm not there, and I want to be there. I want to have my eyes on Him. I want to be leaning on Him. I want to be trusting in Him. I want to trust in Him when I'm feeling good. I want to trust in Him when I'm feeling bad, because I'm in those days now. The evil days, in some senses, have come. And, you know, as He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and before they draw nigh. And I'll tell you, there's sometimes I just get overwhelmed with all the trouble. Turn the TV on and you hear the trouble. Turn the news on and you hear the trouble. Hear the phone ring and pick it up and hear the trouble. And go out among God's little children and see that they're in trouble. But God's ministers and God's little children have good news for God's children when they're in trouble. Are you in trouble this morning? Were you in a good place? The reason you're in a good place isn't because I'm the preacher or because I've got it, because I'm in as much trouble as you are. And if I look to you for help and you look to me for help, there'll be no help. We're not to look to one another, but we're look to the Lord who has dealt well with thy servant. And I've just said, all of you are His servant. Now let's be good servants. Let's be faithful servants. And that's what the scripture says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, what? Service. And who provides service? Servants. And that, somebody said, well, that may not fit my plan. God didn't say you had a right to make your plan. He says, I have direction for you. And that's what Psalm 119 is about. It's direction. Where do you go for your direction? What did He say? Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to what? Thy word. That means His word tells us what He's doing, what He's done, what He is doing, what He has done, what he will do. So that you and I in this world on our own are in the dark, and everything we're hearing is bad news, except when we turn to His Word, and everything we hear in His Word is good news. Now, it's not good news if you want to live your life your way, do your own thing, go your own way, because there's a way that seemeth right to you and a way that seemeth right to me that is not the ways of God. As our ways and thoughts are at one level, His ways and thoughts are so much higher than our ways and thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, His ways and thoughts are above our ways and thoughts. I know y'all heard this, but I need to hear it again this morning. And I believe you do too. To know that there's a way that seems right unto me, but the end thereof, and I know the scripture says there's a way that seems right unto man, but that's me, man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And I'm glad when you read His word, you're not reading my way, you're not reading even the Primitive Baptist way, you're reading God's way. And we as the Primitive Baptist Church, I believe the Lord's Church, need to line up our ways and our thoughts with His ways and His thoughts, and then live our life looking to Him, leaning upon Him, and therefore we will not faint, because we believe, and as we believe, we see the goodness of the Lord. You need to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It's all right. I'm just glad I got a baby crying. I don't worry. That doesn't worry me one iota. If it was mine now, I'd probably worry me. But other than that, that's the only babies I ever hear. I wouldn't have heard that one unless he's going out of here. I want them in here. I'm thankful to hear. That's the strength. Those little voices of the strength, the future of our churches. And we need to be careful how we deal with them. And that's what His way says. It's not my way. It's His way. All right. He says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Thou hast dealt well with him, O Lord, according to thy word. He's given us His word to guide us. Now let's look very quickly at 2 Peter chapter 1. Here we have Simon Peter, who is a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means he was a servant just like other of God's children are servants, just like you and I are servants. And he's an apostle. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. That was one sent by Almighty God directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostles were those that Jesus directly sent and called and gave the truth to. The reason that we can be settled with what's written in the writings of the Apostle Paul and the book of Peter and the book of John and the other books of the Bible is because God used men and blessed them to pin these things down that you and I might have his word. That's what Psalm 119 says in every verse, how we ought to be looking to his word. God's children need his word. They don't need his word to get them alive. The Holy Spirit does that for every one of them. I'm glad of that. He doesn't leave it in my hands or your hands to get that done. Salvation is not a work of two people, God and men, working together to get it accomplished. It's the work of God from the beginning to the end. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we don't have anything with getting folks to do with getting folks to heaven. But listen, God's little children have a lot to do with those who are going to heaven, having peace and rest and joy down here as we share this gospel with one another, so that the light of the glorious grace and the truth of Almighty God might shine in your life, so that with the faith God has given you, you can embrace those things and actually see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to see that. I want to see that when I read the Word of God. What is the message that's given in the Bible? The message is that Jesus came to die and save his people from their sins. The message is that God had a people that he made choice of, not a few, but many brethren out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people that he chose in Christ before the very foundation of the world, and that each and every one of them by the Father was given unto the Son, and that the Son came and lived his life perfectly so that he might go to Jerusalem and be delivered unto the Gentiles and unto the Jews, that he might be crucified, but then on the third day he was going to rise again. And Jesus did all that. Someone would say, why would Jesus, the Son of God, have to come and take upon himself a body of flesh and do all that? The reason that he had to do that is that God had a people that need to get to heaven, and they could not get there on their own. And there was no law that they could keep to get them there. And there was no hope of them ever being there unless something was done for them. And the only one who was suited to do it was the captain of our salvation, which means the author of our salvation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God sent his only begotten Son into this world, he knew who he was coming for. He knew who he was dying for. And those that he died for, he paid the sin debt for. And every one of them, without the loss of one of them, will be with him in heaven in immortal glory, no matter what they do. That's a glorious truth. And God's little children need to hear that and to know that and to think about that, so that while we're in this world and we're going through the troubles and the problems that are in our lives in this world, we don't lose hope. We look to the one who has loved us with an eternal, unconditional love that we could never get out of or be separated from because of what Jesus Christ did for us, what the Father did for us, and what the Holy Spirit did for us. As Psalm 119 again said, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. He's been good to us. He says, Simon Peter, who's a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he says who he's talking to. He says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Now, again, as I said earlier, I could preach till I'm blue in the face, and if God hadn't given you faith, you could not believe it. You would not believe it. You would not have it. You would not hear it. It would make no sense to you. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But if it does mean something to you, if you can understand it, if it does hit a place in your heart, that's an evidence that you were one that God loved in covenant before the foundation of the world, and you have been born again, and in that new birth experience, he gave you the gift of faith. Now, what is faith? According to Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes down a little farther in that 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and tells us, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If today you in your heart can believe that he is, that's evidence that you have faith. And if you have faith, that's evidence that you have life. And if you have life, that's evidence that he loved you before the foundation of the world, and that he sent the Holy Spirit, and he's taken up his abode in your heart. And that means that you are, as I hope and I am, a servant of the Lord, and I owe him everything. I owe him praise, I owe him thanksgiving, and I owe him the very best life that I can live in honor and praise unto him. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's about him. I pray that the Lord will stir my heart and your heart to that point, that even when I'm going through tough times, I will remember that the goodness of the Lord has been shown unto me, and I can remember that God has dealt well with, he's dealt well with his servant. He's taking care of you. He's taking care of you right now. He's watching over us right now, this very moment. He's supplying just what we need right now. He's giving us his word. And that's true of today, but surely goodness and mercy is going to follow us all the days of our life. And then, and not only then, but even now, and even when we leave this world, even unto death, and we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the promise of Almighty God. Sounds like good news, doesn't it? It is good news. Good news from a far country, like cold water to a thirsty soul. He says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, and the us is talking about the elect family of God. And how did we obtain like precious faith? See, somebody would say, see, you have to obtain faith. You have to get faith. There's a lot of ideas and thoughts in the world that even the dead alien sinner can just start believing. And if he'll just start believing and get faith, then he can get life. And in reality, what the Bible teaches is that we have, if we have faith in God, it's by grace that we are saved, and that is through faith, which is not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In other words, faith doesn't come by you and me wanting to have it or wishing to have it. As a matter of fact, we wouldn't have any desire for it until God first works a work of grace in our heart. And in that work of the new birth, he gives us faith. He plants faith in us. We receive the spirit of adoption, according to Romans 8, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, how can you cry, Abba, Father? Well, you have to believe that he is. And what does the Bible say? You can't please him. You can't believe that he is until you have without faith. It's impossible to please him, because he that cometh to him, he that calleth upon him, it's impossible to please him, but he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, he's talking to God's little children here. He says, Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, and they obtained it how? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How did we get a faith? Well, if we obtained it, how was it? If we didn't go get it, it had to be supplied to us. And how was it supplied to us? He tells us how it's supplied to us. It's through Jesus and what he did for us. It's through the Father and what he did for us. It's talking about the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This really means our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's pointing to the fact that Jesus was not only verily man, but he was also verily God. He was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man. And he did everything that was necessary that you and I might have life and we can have it more abundantly by and through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. I love the word multiply. This is the purpose of preaching. It's the purpose of coming together in the worship house. Other than the main purpose of praising God and lifting up our voice and praise unto him, the reason he's given us his word is that we might know what he's done for us. The reason that he's teaching, and that's what he says again over in Psalm 119, he goes, teach me good judgment and knowledge. Verse 66 of Psalm 119, he says, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. In other words, we believe his commandments, and therefore, Lord, teach me so that I might believe and understand more about all the mighty, wonderful things that thou hast done for me, that I would not lose sight of them. The reason you and I get discouraged in this old world and get cast down is because we lose sight on how good the Lord has been to us each and every day, how good the Lord has been to us in an eternal sense, how good the Lord has been to us timely each and every day of our lives. And when we lose sight of that, and the reason we lose sight of that is because we cease to walk by faith and we get outside of his word and we then get wrapped up in the world, and the old devil has a field day with us as our thoughts and our minds and our hearts are far removed from God. But if you fill your heart and your mind and your thoughts with the word of God, and that's on your heart and that's on your mind, there is no room for the old adversary to attack you. He has no opportunity or no place. The Bible says don't give place to the devil. You know, sometimes I feel like I just move over and let him move right into the pulpit with me. Or you might move over and let him sit down right on the pew with you. Or when you get a bad report from somebody, the next thing you know, you get a thought that comes there and the old devil just plays and picks at it, and he's an accuser of the brethren. And he'll say things like, you know, if you were really God, this wouldn't be happening to you. You wouldn't be going through this. You know what the Bible says? That every one of God's little children are going to suffer persecution and tribulation. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I've overcome the world. And in me you might have peace. There is peace and joy and rest in the Lord. There is peace and joy and rest in the Word of God. There is peace and joy and rest for God's little children in the truth. That's why ministers need to be faithful to preach the Word, teach the Word, and tell God's little children again and again, even though you've heard it many times, how great a God you have, what a victory we have in Jesus, that there's a heaven that awaits us. But while we're here in this world, he will take care of us. He will supply what we need no matter what the storm is, the trial, or the problem. And when we feel like it's just too much for me to bear, you take it. What did he say? Come unto me, what? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I might give you rest. He didn't say that, did he? And I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you. You know what that is? That is getting in this book and reading his word and filling your hearts and your minds with the teachings of his word. The Bible says in verse 99 of Psalm 119, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 9 of Psalm 119 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thereto, according to thy word. And with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I what? Might not sin against thee. Sounds like his word is important. And when you read Psalm 119, you'll find his word in almost every verse. I think there's a couple verses that might have an exception to that, but almost every verse talks about his commandments, his statutes, his word, what his word means to us. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. You and I need to stay in his word. The preacher needs to preach the word and to teach the word and to say it over and over again. And then when we're talking together, We need to talk the word. We need to share the word. We don't need to give the old adversary space or room, but we need to be faithful to his word. That's why we need to be faithful to attend the house of God, so that we might hear his word and feed on his word and then share his word with others of God's children. That's why he said it's that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And notice what else he says, and be not conformed to this world. That means along with the world. How do we get conformed to this world? Get away from his word. Just don't do anything. Just get up and start walking through the days of your life. Just sit down in front of the TV set and fill your head with all of those kinds of things. I'm not telling you to do that. What I'm telling you to do, it's okay to listen to it for a little while. But if you start living in it, it'll bog you down. Take my word for it. It'll bog you down. If you just dwell on the negative in this world, it'll bog you down. If you have illness and that's all you can think about, it'll bog you down. And it's not easy to say, okay, I just won't think about it. Matter of fact, you know how much we can handle that? We can't handle it at all. But I'm not asking you or telling you to let you handle it. I'm saying to you, you turn it over to the one who made you and created you, and he's able to handle it. Not only is he able to handle it, what did he say? He says, thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word. That means he's going to do everything that he has promised he will do. He said grace and peace is multiplied. Back to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. He said grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. That means the more you acknowledge him, the more you recognize him, the more you talk about him, the more you sing about him, the more that you hear preaching about him, the more that you keep him in the forefront of your mind, even when you're listening to that bad news from the TV, you keep him in your mind, keep him in your thought. Remember, he's on the throne. You acknowledge that he's on the throne. You express with your mouth that he's on the throne. You believe in your heart that he's on the throne. And the Bible says that if we believe in our heart and we confess in our mouths, those who believe, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto what? Salvation. That isn't how you get to home to glory, but I'll tell you what, it's how you get peace and joy and rest while you're living here in this world. What happens when we talk about the Lord? What happens when you're in a good church meeting where the Lord is preached? What happens when the song service is sweet and you can feel it in your heart? What happens when you're talking on the phone to a little brother or a sister and you're down and they talk about the Lord and they tell you how there's a home waiting for you in heaven? Even if you've got everything going wrong in this world, the sufferings of this present time are not to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, because there's an inheritance awaiting that's undefiled and faded not, and is reserved in heaven for you. And not only that, that's one of the promises eternally made. And I'm telling you, he's made you promises for today. You say, well, it's hard, it is impossible for us to grab those things outside of him. But in him, what can we do? What does the scripture say? In him we can do what? Amen. All things through him which strengthens us. And if we ask him for a good thing, like, Lord, help me have faith to get through this. Lord, help me have peace in the midst of this sorrow. Lord, comfort my family that's grieving and hurting. Lord, be with our little church and stir us up. We need reviving. We need to be awakened. Lord, cause God's children to want to shout when they hear about Jesus. Lord, give us a heart that's humble before thee and a heart that's broken before thee, so that we understand we can't do anything without thee. Lord, give me love for my brethren, even those that get on my nerves. Lord, give me an understanding of what I am and what you've done for me, so that I might really be what I'm supposed to be for thee, Lord, not because I'm anything, but because you're everything, that I might be a help to my neighbor, and that he might be a help to me.
that rather than seeing one another and talking about all the bad stuff, we'd see one another and talk about all the good stuff and be glad when we see each other. You know, that's what the scripture says too. I was thankful when I was afflicted, because when I was afflicted, I got to see the Word. And once I got to see the Word, then I began to talk the Word, and God's little children that fear the Lord were glad to talk to me. I haven't been fit to talk to at times this week, because all I wanted to do is depress everybody that was around me. You know why? Because I had lost sight of some things that God had promised me. And maybe you've been there too. And if you hadn't, the time's coming when you probably will. If David got there, I believe you and I might get there, don't you? I don't want to be weary in well-doing. I want to be excited about coming to church. I want to be excited about preaching the gospel. I want to be excited about sharing the truth. I want to be excited every time we see each other, so that I love you and express that love to you the way that the Lord would have us to do. Not because you deserve it or I deserve it, but because of who? Him. Do y'all say he deserves it? I say he does, don't you? Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. He's been good to us. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Our Lord has done so much for us. When there in that garden, as he was about to go to the cross, the weight of our sins, he felt them in his own body. He felt what that was. He knew and understood what he was going to endure. He knew what the wage of sin was and what that was going to be on his own body when he went to the cross. He knew the darkness of Calvary. He knew and understood the pain of Calvary. He understood to some degree what it was going to be separated from the Father in a sense that he had never been before, because he's the eternal Son of God. But you know, there at Calvary, he said there as he was in that garden, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Can you hear his words? There was no possibility any other way. No law could be given to give us life. No law could be given to give us what we'd given. It took the pain and the agony and the death on the cross so that you and I might be with him in heaven, but also that you and I might have the joy and the rest and the peace that we have right now here in this world. And when we think what we deserve and what he gave us in spite of what we deserve, we have every reason to say in our hearts and give our very best in service to him, to honor him and praise him, and live our lives in a way to honor and glorify him. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And I think a glaring picture there is of the weakness of the dear disciples that were there with him. They had just all said, he had told them, you're all going to forsake me. I'm going to go there alone. You're all going to forsake me. Peter, you know, had to speak up. This is the same Peter who wrote this book. And he said, Lord, though all others forsake you, I'll not forsake you. I'll never leave you. I believe he believed that in his heart. I believe he thought that. I believe he felt like he could do that. But then the weakness of Peter showed up, didn't it? Even before he got to the cross, there in the garden, before he got there, as he was praying, he took all 11 along with him. There were 8 of them. Judas has already left, and he's going to do what he was going to do in betraying the Lord. But all the rest of them were with him. And he said, just wait here a while I go yonder and pray. Jesus was going to pray because he's praying unto the Father. And even as he prayed, as he worked as our mediator, as he did what God had given him to do, the charge God had given him as man, God sent an angel to strengthen him. You know, all of that was done not because it was done for us, so that we might know how good, merciful and good a God we have. And he set an example for us on what we should do in praying and looking to God. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That didn't mean Jesus was trying to get out of it. He knew that was the only way. But we needed to know that too, didn't we? We needed to know that it was completely impossible for salvation to occur any other way. While he was praying that prayer, you would think those disciples who had just said, "We're going to be with you, Lord. We're going to hang in there," would be there. You know what happened to them? What happens to us sometimes in the sweetest of meetings? They fell asleep. And Jesus comes and says, "Could you not wait with me 1 hour?" And then reproves them in a sense. And then the next thing you know, well, that would take care of it. And he went back to pray some more. And when he came back, guess what? Sleep again. He also said this: "The spirit is willing." Y'all understand this, right? "The spirit is willing, but what? Flesh is weak." What I'm saying to you today is, in our very best efforts, we're going to find evil present with us, and we're not going to get this perfect. I'm glad he got it perfect, aren't you? So that you and I don't have to. But he never said for us not to just worry about that. He said for us to do, we're to press towards the mark as close as we can to be like him. We'll never get perfect. He finally, the third time he came, you think he'd take care of it the second time. The third time he came, guess where they were again? Sleep again. He just says, "Sleep on now. Because what I came into this earth to do, I'm about to do. And that is, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to bleed, and I'm going to die." That isn't all he said. On the third day, he's going to do what? Rose again. Do you know we have an intercessor right now seated on the right hand of the Father because he's risen again? That'll help you in whatever storm or trouble you've got and you're going through. You look to him and he'll send you help. He'll send you the peace. He'll send you what you need, even if it means your life is taken from you. Because the moment your life leaves your body, you know what the Bible says for a little believer, a little child of God, and you're a believer because he made you so, because he created you. You know what it says? That at the moment to be absent from the body is to what? Is that a good place? Yes. To be present with the Lord. And then one day, he's going to come get these bodies. And they're going to go down in weakness, but they're coming forth in power. They're going to go down mortal, but they're coming forth immortal. They're going down fleshly bodies, but they're coming forth spiritual bodies. And when they come forth, it'll be this body. It won't be another body. It'll be change, but it won't be exchange. It's a change body. We'll be made like him. And then old Gary won't have any more doubts. No more overwhelming. No more problems. And the work of Jesus as our mediator will come to an end, because we'll be made in fashion like unto him and see him face to face. Right now, he needs to mediate between us and God the Father. One day, we'll be able to look and see our glorious Father in a way we've never seen, face to face. And he will be all in all. God who? God the Father, and God the Eternal Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And forever we'll be praising him in glory. Won't be any boring things up in heaven. You might get bored down here because of the old flesh, but you'll not get bored in heaven, because even your body's going to be prepared to worship him like we should in spirit and in truth. I hope that helps you some right now through whatever you're going through, what your kids are going through, what your problems are, whatever they are. Listen, we've got a Lord who's bigger than any of those things. Cannot fail. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray for me, God bless you.